Hi, this is Jeanette and Carolyn, and we've got some big news because Adelaide Plains Poets had a role in the recent opening of the Civic Centre in Gawler, the Gawler Civic Centre, and we had a good time.
We did.
And I tried something brand new and I learnt things there, and I'll do it again, maybe, I don't know. But hey, stand-up comic, yeah, maybe need training. But I gave it a go, people laughed, they didn't walk out, nobody booed. And if nobody boos or walks out, then hey, it's okay.
Yeah, it was a good day. And it's really exciting having this wonderful new civic space in Gawler.
Yep.
With lots and lots of potential.
Indeed it is. Cafe there is wonderful. Library is even more wonderful. And there's lots and lots of bits and pieces there. Rooms I haven't even been in yet. Jeanette's been in more than I have.
Have you seen the exhibition Into the Light?
No.
Wow. And it's so busy. When I was in there yesterday, there were so many people passing through. Cafe was doing well.
Oh, I love it. That's
really
good to hear.
Good to see.
The cafe really is worth going to.
Definitely.
Lovely people doing wonderful things.
It is.
With very, very strong community ideas.
I went to the workshop yesterday where they discussed technology and art. I got a wonderful writing tip for them as well.
So that a little bit about that later. Literary news.
I Googled and all I could find is that the 21st of April is Charlotte Bronte's birthday, and that was the only item of international literary news interest I could find.
She's a worthy one though.
Yes. I mean, there's so much going on, but there was nothing outstanding. So to move on, poet or writer discussion, and we agreed that this week we talk about autobiography.
Why on earth did we decide that? That's your fault, I think.
It is my fault. And I realised after that I actually don't like autobiographies, not in general. And I studied as an honours subject autobiographical writing. And the only one that actually stood out for me from that course was Sally Morgan's My Place.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful
book. Which I
really
enjoyed.
Yep. The thing about autobiography is you're giving your unvarnished truth there. If you're doing a good one, you are.
Yeah.
And it hurts. And it's just amazing.
It came across as very natural, very frank, very down to earth, which I loved. A lot of autobiographies, you can feel the writers trying to impress you. We actually had one well-known Australian literary figure and came across as being really full of himself and arrogant and came from a wealthy, privileged background. So he walked into the tutorial in the morning and one of the male students said, well, that individual is a, and used a word which we wouldn't be allowed to use in this podcast.
And we wouldn't use that word anyway because we're ladies, darlings.
I can't actually remember what it was, but I know it was offensive. We all were in absolute agreement with the student. Anyway, the tutor came in, lovely, lovely tutor, who wrote a biography of Henry Lawson's mother.
Okay.
And we were telling, all venting, how much we hated this author. And he sat back and listened for a while, and then he said, well, I should just warn you now. And he's a very good personal friend of mine.
Oh, dear.
And he said, actually, he's a lovely man. It just doesn't come across in me. So, well, sorry, but that doesn't come across in his autobiography.
So it's a badly written autobiography then, rather than him being an awful man.
Maybe. I just wasn't convinced.
That's
but one of my favourite books is an autobiography, and I've probably talked about it endlessly before because it's one of my favourite books, and it had a huge impact on me when I was a teenager, and that is Testament of Youth by Vera Brittain, written about her wartime experiences in the First World War. I really related to the main character a lot. War happened and her life got turned on its head.
The other one
I've really enjoyed, and it's rather amusing, is Tom Baker's autobiography.
Doctor Who, Tom Baker. Yeah, he's not just Doctor Who, he's many other things.
It doesn't portray himself as a very nice person, really.
Oh.
Which, and I know from things I've heard that it tracks. He is and he isn't. It's nice because you don't feel like he's trying to put himself across as the hero of his own story.
Yeah. He's human then. Because we all have good points and bad points.
Yeah. And he talks about how the fame went to his head a bit, how he had the wild years where he was off on the booze with Anthony Hopkins.
Well, I haven't done that, but any autobiography where there's no bad points about yourself, then it's not a well-written autobiography, I don't reckon, because we are all human.
Yeah, and of course we want to be liked despite our faults.
So you put on public fronts and you hide the other things.
I've known for quite a while as I can't write about myself either.
See, I'm a poet, so...
Poetry tends to come out of personal...
Yeah, it's very much
emotion.
You touch on your emotions, yes. And I have written a memoir, and that's about my diagnosis with multiple sclerosis, and that is very honest. It's raw, and I wrote that within a year or two of getting that diagnosis, I'd written that memoir about it. And it was therapy to a large extent. Writing was one thing that I could do when there were other things I wasn't really that able to do anymore, or not at that time. So the book was called Mick, Jane and Me, Living Well with MS.
Mm.
And there's lots of tips about living well with MS. What I was trying to do was live a good life while having MS. Yes,
but I think it's a very helpful book for other people.
Yes, and I have had people read it and say thank you.
Yes.
And I've given it to friends who have MS and they've learned about MS. Mm. And then I've got this other book, which was also therapeutic in a different way. And this is called Damaged Children, Precious Gems. It's a poetry collection about sexual abuse, getting over sexual abuse, the journey from victim to survivor. Shall I read a poem from it? This is a poem that I wrote after having learned about myself and other people in the same position. It's called Be Careful What Makes You Comfortable. Victimhood is a worn cloak, dangerous to put on, lest it become too comfortable to ever take it off. Wearing that cloak, you may never learn how to take it off. Leave it behind and move on. Moving on is scary. Change is scary. But staying still will never lead to anything better. Throw off your cloak of victimhood that weighs you down, holds you back. Put on survivor's armour. I'm wearing survivor's armour. I'm in a good place these days. I've been in a very bad place. I'm in a good place now. And another poem. Mm-hmm. This poem is from a poet that we both know, and she's very well known in the place where we are now recording this. Yes. Her name is Colleen Moyne. She's got a new book out, her first poetry collection out, called Time Like Coins. And this poem, I feel, is very autobiographical. It's called Morning Ritual. Alarm sounds throw me up out of my dream-filled sleep, reaching out, yawning and slow to silence a deafening beep. Slippers on, robe in a twist, shuffling out of my room. Sun peeps through slatted blinds, lighting the morning gloom. Coffee pot in the kitchen waits, kettle is on to heat. Aroma wafts, clearing my head, warming me to my feet. Coffeed up and cozy now, resolve beginning to crack. Work can wait, no need to rush, and my bed is calling me back. Slippers off, curtain closed, robe tossed in a heap. Snuggled up beneath the quilt, I drift off back to sleep. Oh, Colleen, I bet you could do that more often soon when you finally do retire.
Makes me want to go back to sleep, to get up early this morning and yesterday and the day before. I might read mine right now and then that's we'll a do it the day. Yes. Swap the order around. None of my writing, even when I use my experiences, I'm channeling them through other characters, so it's really not autobiographical. I don't feel that any of my characters are me, except for this character, which isn't me, and it's certainly not autobiographical.
But in some ways, everything that a person writes is partly autobiographic, because they live that. It comes from somewhere.
A lot of what my characters live, I haven't necessarily, but it's reading, it's empathy, drawing on so many different things.
Yep,
but there's a bit of me in everything, but I try to keep myself out of it. And this is a character that I keep myself out of entirely, but because I act this character out. This is Sleeger, my D&D character.
Okay.
Who's male, tall, ugly, and has no charisma at all.
Rather than female, not that tall and...
short. Let's be honest, Carolyn, I'm short.
Well, I'm trying to be kind to myself as well as to you, because we're about the same height,
Jeanette. There's nothing wrong with being short.
We're not tall. Would you say we're not tall?
I'm happy to say I'm short.
Not short as,
I love being short.
Go.
So here we are in direst trouble again. Only this time, we are going to die. I admit that I say that every time, but this time, death is the only possible outcome. The cocky elf would not agree, the dwarf lord might, but only so as to not agree with the elf. Regardless of what they say or think, the evidence is overwhelming. We're all going to die. Not that anyone knows or cares what I think. They never do, which is why I'm writing this down, so that one day they'll all know that I was right, even the elf. So, not the start of the story, that was long ago, after I escaped from the slave pits along with 8 other slaves, and we trekked through the Badlands, only myself and Olaf making it to the other side alive. And that is where we met the elf and the dwarves. Stupidly, we agreed to join them, for a price, of course. Don't recall how much it was, or if they ever paid us. We had no idea it was in store that day, or we might have found other, more wholesome employment. The two dwarves, Grogutz and Olmglad, were all bravado, typically dwarf-like, and the elf, who appeared not to even know his own name, he's changed it several times since then, and I don't even call what his name was by then, it certainly wasn't Kazwindir, was a bit shifty, watching and wary, revealing nothing at all of himself. Over the course of our adventures, we've got used to each other. like, might be too rosy a term to describe our relationship. It's more based on mutual dependence than amicability, rather like family members. From what I've seen of families, that is, I've little experience of them myself. Many have been the adventures, all dire, of course, all life-threatening, and the monsters we have encountered, more hideous than mortal imagination could conjure. The Beholder, the Purple Worm, which I totally vanquished, by the way. Though not so long ago, we've had so many adventures since we met that it is difficult to remember just how it came about or why I consented to join them.
That's a really weird thing to read when we went to talk about autobiography.
Isn't it? That's what I thought.
Hey, if it works for you, it works for you.
Well, I said to Justin, we're talking about autobiography today. Guess what I'm going to read? And he said, Sligo's Diary. So
he knows you. He knows you. That man knows you so well. Okie doke.
Oh, yes.
Writer's tip.
So yesterday, one of the panellists said something which I immediately wrote down because I thought, that is a perfect writer's tip. Yeah. Brian Jones, and he works for a company called Refuel, and they help writers and artists deal with technology and utilise technology. They're based in Port Adelaide. He said, have your own expectations. Don't be drawn into others' expectations.
Yep.
And I thought that was brilliant because one of the dangers of the internet is hearing so many do this, do that, yep, and you lose your own vision. You've got to stick to your own vision.
Maybe I've been looking for too many ways to write novels, and that's why I'm not actually writing my novels.
I sometimes find writers' workshops just lead me down the garden path in a way. Then I'm suddenly starting to try and conform to something else and forgetting how to write myself.
Mm. There are ways to write things, but that's not necessarily your way.
No. I actually find the best thing, sometimes I feel lost in writing and I read a novel.
You see how someone else has done it and, yep.
Yeah, suddenly
get tips from what they've done and take it your own way.
Because I'm not consciously thinking about what I'm doing when I'm writing. It's very intuitive, like drawing. So I thought that was an excellent quote.
I like it.
So on to words. Now, I've got more than one. So first of all is a delightful word that I found that's no longer in use, clanjamfrey. It's a Scottish word.
Oh, okay.
And it's a derogatory description of a gathering of people, a rabble, the clanjamfrey, the hoi polloi out there kind of thing. And it's been in use for at least 2 centuries. It's been used in Ayr. In 1830, recorded in Ayr, so that was of interest to me because I can use that now in James and Helen because that might be what they would have used.
Clanjamfrey.
I love it. I've been thinking of it all week. Bit of a clanjamfrey.
That could have been the first parliament of South Australia. Bit of a clanjamfrey.
That could be our current Australian parliament.
I didn't say that, you did, but yes.
Now, also of interest, the Oxford English Dictionary a couple of years ago put out an appeal worldwide for regional terms to add into the dictionary. And I've just got some examples of some of them. Chuddies.
Chuddies.
Yep, put on your chuddies. Underpants. It's an Indian word.
Okay, not ever heard that one.
Underpants, your chuddies.
Your jocks, your chuddies. Yes. Chuddies sounds cuter than jocks. Jocks is just...
I thought that's a really cute word. Gibbons is a Welsh term for spring onion. I had to put this one in. Biddy in. It's hyphenated. B-I-D-I-E hyphen I-N. It's a Scots word for cohabiting. So just an I biddy in. So I had to put that in there.
Well, Graham and I biddied in for some time before we actually got married.
So another Scots word. Now I can't pronounce. Situteri. Situteri. I probably totally mispronounced. A Scots person would beat me up for that. It's a place to sit out, to wait. So yes, there's lots of really cool words going into the dictionary, and I'll put a link up.
Words are wonderful, wonderful things.
I love words. Yes, they are. And I love regional dialect words. They're colourful and they enrich our language so much.
Mm.
So I'm going to be using the word clanjamfrey again because I just think it's beautiful. Definitely one of those words that needs to
now
be brought back.
Now I'm trying to work out Tallulah Council Meeting.
Oh, a bit of a clanjamfrey, that one, yes.
Bit of a clanjamfrey and...
Listener's Challenge.
Okay, the Listener's Challenge, isn't it? Because you've got a good one that you just said.
Yes, Into the Light, the exhibition that's in the Civic Centre, which is some absolutely beautiful artefact. It's a great exhibition and I really recommend it. So.
That's terrific.
And that will be our Listener's Challenge.
Well, that's our job here done and it's time to head off for something else.
Yes, more talking about writing.
Always.
We're good at that.
Writing, talk about writing. It's what we do. Indeed. We're writers. Thank you. Goodbye, everybody.
Ciao.